Being from good to great requires discipline. Disciplines people who engage in disciplined thought and who take disciplined action. To engage in disciplined action first requires disciplined thought, and disciplined thought requires people who have the discipline to create quiet time for reflection. The net result is not doing more, but doing less. Stop doing lists reflect greater discipline than ever-expanding to-do lists of frenetic activity. This book is all about creating those pockets and putting them to good use. When Darwin Smith served as chief executive of Kimberly-Clark, he made many of his biggest strategic decisions in tractor time. He would visit his farm in Wisconsin, rumbling around on a tractor backhoe, picking up gigantic rocks from a pile, and moving them across the property to another pile. At one crucial point, he faced a conundrum. What to do about the struggling paper mills business that had anchored the company for 100 years? Smith mulled around for a long time, moving rocks from pile to pile, and then back again. And he gained clarity. If you have a cancer in your arm, you have to have the guts to cut off your own arm, reflected Smith, who had once battled throat cancer. He made a clear decision. Sell the mills, jettison 100 years of legacy, and put all the resources into the company's emerging consumer business, going all in with a big bet on consumer-facing brands like Kleenex. A board member called it one of the gutsiest decisions he'd ever seen a CEO make, a turning point that ignited a good-to-great transformation and earned Smith a spot as one of the greatest business leaders of the 20th century. Winston Churchill loved to lay bricks at Chartwell, his home retreat, especially when cast into his wilderness years of the 1930s. Bill Gates, during the rise of Microsoft, set aside entire weeks to just go away and read and reflect, what he called Think Week. Warren Buffett gravitated toward the quietude of his hometown of Omaha, Nebraska, and crafted a simple daily life full of reading and gestation. One of Buffett's fondest phrases, "Inactivity can be very intelligent behavior." George Washington would lose himself for hours riding his favorite horse around Mount Vernon. Ron Chernow's fabulous biography of Washington tells of how he thrived on a daily routine of unvarying regularity, making particular use of time alone for work and reflection early in the morning before others awoke. Chernow also questions the famous image of Washington on his knees in prayerful meditation at Valley Forge, seeking guidance and strength, oblivious to people around him. Not because he doubted the act, but because Washington would have almost certainly done so alone, in private. Of course, you need not be in such rarefied company to make use of quiet solitude. While working on this forward, I am completing a study of exceptional people who lead K-12 schools to high results in the most difficult and adverse circumstances, from dangerous urban neighborhoods to poor rural townships. These K-12 school leaders continually renew themselves for redeployment day by day and year by year. Many do so by creating alone time to reflect and recharge. One elementary principal in a school whose students come from an adjacent crime-ridden neighborhood crafted a personal bubble every morning, just sitting in her car before heading into the building. She deliberately arrived a few minutes early whenever possible to give herself these moments. The key, as the authors illustrate with their marvelous collection of case studies, is to develop two practices. First, systematically build pockets of solitude into your life. We all have no more than 24 hours in a day, and they will be chewed up unless you deliberately structure time for solitude, inserting some white space in your calendar. White space does not mean vacation. It simply means nothing scheduled. Think of it as like putting down rocks in the river. If you wait for the river to stop flowing before you walk out and put a rock down, you'll never get one out there. Instead, better to drop a rock in the flow and make the river go around it. This is the idea of white space, time scheduled with yourself, honored as you would any other vital appointment. The second discipline is to recognize unexpected opportunities for solitude and seize them. It might come in the form of an unexpected life change that pulls you out of the fray, or it might come in a more pedestrian form. What do you do when stuck in traffic or with an unexpected flight delay? What do you do when you've been gifted?